And I'm ready. Okay, let me give me a moment to wake up.
Well, okay. Will that help, or should we just go ahead?
Man, all right, here we are.
Oh, jeez. Okay, late night last night. We are on vacation, after all. So
yeah, a little bit of rum and a little bit of having fun, and we're right on vacation. Let's tell the listeners where we are, because this is exciting.
Go ahead.
We are on location, on vacation in the Caribbean, in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands.
U.S. Virgin Islands,
right. As we speak, right here. If you listen closely, you can hear the waves lapping on the tropical shores.
Is that what that noise is? I thought there was a plumbing problem.
sounds like a sad storm trying to whip itself into shape.
There's a lot of hot air blowing here right now. There'll be more as we go along, I'm sure. Well, Dean, it's not only are we both here for this, but our producer Torin is here with us too.
Torin's here on vacation with us.
On vacation, on location.
Whoa.
Easy.
How about that?
Say.
There you go.
This is like the trifecta of podcasts.
Well, yeah, in one way or another, sure.
Hey, Tor.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, he's sitting there with his with his drinks and his
drinks plural.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah, one in each hand, and
you know it.
So
suffering through this tropical hellhole.
Oh yes, tropical hell. Yeah,
we're actually overlooking the pool and looking into a very nice area off of St. Thomas. It's a gorgeous island.
It's nice and warm here. I'm happy.
It's about 80 degrees right now, I think. Yeah.
Right.
And in just lovely place. And however, we're going to use our opportunity of being here to have another island hopping episode.
Oh, we're hopping around from island to island.
We are. I've been hopping all morning long, and now I'm settled down for the podcast, I guess.
And for those listeners who may not be as familiar with the U.S. Virgin Islands, you can hop from one U.S. Virgin Island to the other.
Okay.
Actually, it takes a ferry. I guess some people could hop it, but I don't know. But the ferry, so there are three main islands. There's St. Thomas, there's St. John, and there's St. Croix.
Right.
And those three constitute the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, there's also the British Virgin Islands, but that's a different story. And some people say that in the U.S. Virgin Islands, there are a few others, too. There's like Water Island, which is very near St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. But the three main ones are those three. And right, we're here in St. Thomas.
And St. Thomas is quite close to St. John, so that a ferry ride there is 20 to 30 minutes, maybe?
Or a hop.
Or a hop. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of definitions of hop. There can be a human hopping. And I've tried, and so far I've come up short when I try to hop from St. Thomas to St. John.
Well, I'm speaking metaphorically.
Oh, you know, you could have told me that before.
It's a metaphorical hop.
That's what I went to in high school. Metaphorical hop.
Yeah, every hop was metaphorical.
Yeah,
Every hop was invited. Every hop was metaphysical.
No, that's what I was hoping for, but
but it was only metaphorical.
Oh
man! At the end of a night in the seventh grade, you go home and you go, "Oh, I was hoping for a metaphysical hop, and it's only metaphorical."
Just metaphorical. Yeah. Well, so anyhow, hello, Torin.
Hello.
Hello, Dean.
Hey.
I'm Tom Peterson. He's Dean Foster, and we're here on the island of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Because,
oops, your culture's showing.
In the U.S. Virgin Islands, a kind of, I think, odd thing takes place.
Oh, really? Something we haven't experienced elsewhere?
Well, you might experience it elsewhere, but I'm not sure where. Maybe you can answer that for us. But it's, and what it is, if you fly into the airport here on St. Thomas.
Or hop into the island somehow.
Well, yes. But I'm bringing you in from the mainland of the United States, or really the mainland of anything outside of here. And you go in and you rent a car. And you go out to get in the car. there's something pretty important you should know.
Oh, yes. That's right. It's very important. And they have little stickers on the rental cars that remind you of this.
They do. Right up above the steering wheel is a sticker on the just where the roof is right before it gets to the windshield.
This is the only... Now, we'll give the listeners a hint as to what we're referring to.
Uh-huh.
This is the only location in the United States
yes.
where you can legally, and you must... legally drive on the left.
Right.
This is the only place in the United States where you must drive on the left.
That's a very big hint.
That is the thing. That's the thing right there.
So can you guess what it is, listeners?
Wait a minute.
Can you guess?
Let me give him a hint.
Okay.
It's the only place in America where you drive on the left.
Oh, that sounds familiar, but thank you. Thank you.
Now, unlike driving on the left, let's say in the UK, and by the way, here's this is the cultural thing.
This is it. Okay. We're early here. This is it.
Here's the cultural thing.
After this, you can go take a nap, whatever you want. Go ahead.
And the reason we're here is because we talk about cultural differences and
occasionally
and try to draw metaphysical and metaphorical conclusions based on that.
Right.
And did we have too much Corona already?
Oh, gosh. It's very possible.
Not enough.
Unlike.
Not enough yet today, I think, is the problem.
Boys, come on.
What?
Unlike the UK.
Who's this guy anyway?
Where you're driving on the left, but because you're driving on the left, the steering column is on the right.
Yes.
Unlike what happens in this States where you're driving on the right, so the steering column's on the left.
Yes.
Here in St. Thomas, because of the American cars and the prevalence of U.S. citizenship, the most cars are from the mainland, so the steering column is on the left, but you're also driving on the left.
Right.
Oh,
correct.
Man, that was hard.
That was very hard. Go take, go have a rum.
I know. I need a rest.
Listen, yeah, and that's kind of weird. Is your tendency sitting on that side of the car, your tendency in the very beginning is going to be to want to move over to the right-hand side of the road.
And if you're using a stick shift, a standard, then the stick mechanism is on the right.
Yeah, you're still okay with that.
Well, but if you were driving on the left as you would in the UK, the stick mechanism is on your left.
Yes, but we're not in the UK. We're in the Virgin Islands.
I'm sorry.
Put your stick back where it belongs.
Or you could sit in the middle, and then you can be fine for either.
You could straddle
location.
The stick, but right. I think that's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast completely.
And so you're driving along. You've got to basically you drive along the edge of the road, and now you may be sitting somewhere like the United States right now, listening to this podcast, and you may think, okay, I get it. You got to stay on the left. So I remember to stay on the left, and I do that. Well, there's another aspect to it. It's a small series of islands here, as all the Virgin Islands are, and they don't really have large roads, wide roads to drive on, primarily,
or even roads
at times. And so you're not only on the left, but you're right on the edge of the paved area.
Well, also, may I interject? Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt. But
you do, but that's another podcast.
That's what I'm doing. And the roads go up and down. It is a mountainous, it's a volcanic
island.
Most of the islands in the Caribbean are either sand spits, essentially, flat islands that are just, the ground has come up above the surface of the ocean. Or they're volcanic and they're mountainous.
Right.
Right.
Well, the Bahamas, for instance, would be a more reef-based.
Reef-based.
They're very flat. But here, you're always driving either up or down, it seems.
So you're driving round and round, curves up and down,
yep.
with no barriers on small, ill-paved or non-existent roads.
With two-way traffic.
With two-way traffic
on the wrong side of the road.
Well, it's the right side, but it is
the left. No, it's the left side.
It's the left side, which is...
it's the right side.
Which is the right side.
Got it?
So it's not a problem. It's no problem at all. So I'm guessing, too, that creates... Oh, here we go. that is going to create not only just a difficulty for tourists coming in, but a consistent problem for those who live here.
Yes, because tourists don't get it.
Right. So they, I would think you'd have to kind of be on the lookout for people on the wrong side of the road all the time.
Yeah, also, you know, because people come here as tourists on vacation looking for a good time.
Right.
There's there is a culture of alcohol and excessive partying.
Sure.
And so, you know, you can't get behind the wheel under those circumstances, but people do.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget that they need to stay on the left, and then they go up a mountain and around a bend, and they're on the right side, and it's the wrong side, and it should be the left side, which is the right side, and boom.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, and the thing is that you can, because of the hills and the curves, there are numerous times while you're driving when you cannot see the traffic coming ahead of you. Sometimes you can, as you go up over the top of one of these hills, you cannot see really anything but sky for a moment. And so you are in a position where if someone is coming the wrong direction, then, and you are into your, the front of you, you may not see them till way too late. It's very easy to do that. It's
So, but we should say that if you drive safely and defensively, like everybody should drive everywhere, but you'd really need to do so with more intent here, I think. But it's a fine place to drive around. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. It actually is something that you, from I think for most people, you can get used to it pretty quickly.
You have to watch out for the iguanas, however. The iguanas, they don't care whether you're on the left side or the right side.
Iguana crossings, yes.
They just... And some of these suckers are big.
Yeah, you know? they're impressive.
Yeah, they've been around for, what, 5 million years?
I'll go with that.
And there are some individuals.
That's our strong point.
And there are some individuals that look like they've been here for those 5 million years.
You shouldn't talk that way about the people around us.
Well, I meant the iguana individuals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, and they do really have an attitude. They will, they start to walk across the road and everything else has to watch out
for. Well, here's the thing also that you have to watch out for. The locals have this habit of, because everybody on the island knows each other, right? It's
right.
A small population.
Yep.
So they have this habit of driving down a road. And if they see somebody that they know on the side of the road, they just stop. They just stop to talk to them.
Right.
They don't pull over. It just
right there. Well, honestly, in a lot of the places, there's not so much of a even if they wanted to, it would not be easy for them to pull off because there's no real shoulder or anything like that on most of the roads.
That's right. So I think that that's kind of sweet that they just see somebody and then they stop and want to chat. You know, it's a kind of low key, you know.
And everything's along those lines, because it's warm here year round. As we said, it's January now and it's 80 degrees and lovely, and it will get warmer throughout the year. But it's, I think too, Dean, talking back about the residents here, that they have to kind of be aware of the tourist driving. But it's a tourist based island because that's that's going to be the main income coming out. Am I right?
Yes, now it is. But it wasn't always. You know, up until the 50s, tourism really wasn't a major industry here. And the islands prior, and historically going back to, the time Columbus kind of quote-unquote discovered the Virgin Islands, these islands, as all the islands in the Caribbean, were agricultural-based economies.
Mm-hmm.
Basically staffed labor with slaves that Europeans brought in during the slave trade from Africa. So this agricultural base created a sense of time and accomplishment and deadlines that's very different from modern day economies that run on schedules and production and efficiency. So the sense of time is still fundamentally not the same here on the islands as it is in, let's say, in the U.S. So, but having said that, today it is a tourist-based economy But even as a tourist-based economy, tourists come down here for the slow pace.
Right.
They come down here to relax, you know. And if it takes a half hour to bring you, your beer on the beach, that's okay, man. You know, that's just enjoy that.
It's island time.
It's island time.
And you right. have, but you have to know that when you come. And I think that the difficulty can be, especially in people coming into resorts and places like that, that or not resorts. It could be Airbnb type places that they're going to. They come in and they're going to expect, in many cases, and I'm talking about people from the United States right now, that I think a lot of them will come in expecting things to run exactly as it does in the mainland.
Are you going to be be very frustrated?
Absolutely, and it's from the, you know, it's the U.S. Virgin Islands, so you don't have to change currency. The people here are citizens of the United States. And that it's, so it would seem like, okay, it's just an extension, but it is a different culture here than we can expect in at least most of the mainland United States.
Yeah, it's very different. Very different. It only became, you know, part of the U.S. and in this strange way where it's not a state. The citizens don't have representation in Washington. Mm-hmm. They don't pay taxes to Washington. They pay local taxes. So it's a strange limbo kind of existence. But the point is that the fundamental culture prior to the U.S. acquiring the U.S. Virgins is very, very different from the U.S. mainland. It's probably more like southern U.S. with the same kinds of traditions and same kinds of history, with the curse of slavery and the legacy of slavery. That, too, not only changes the concept of time here, but it also changes the concept of human relationships. How people are expected to relate to each other. Here in the islands, there's still a lot of legacy of a master-slave relationship. So if you have any kind of authority, that's the role of the master. And if you're having to do anything in a work relationship, let's say with somebody, where you're the you get paid for your services, that often becomes reinterpreted through behaviors and sometimes misunderstandings as the master-slave relationship. So there's even the relationship between paid help and the client gets filtered through this history. And that's unfortunate. And it's something that we're trying to overcome, but nevertheless, history leaves its legacy and that's still part of the islands.
Okay. There's a population in the U.S. Virgin Islands that has come from many different parts of the world. Many people from the United States have come in here and have made homes here where they are their primary residence. And there's a lot of people like that. So you're talking about what's happened in the past and how that is manifesting itself today. But is there a changeover happening in the islands because of an influx? Or are these islands here, the Virgin Islands, at least the U.S. Virgin Islands, are they kind of maintaining a common culture because the new people are coming in and adjusting to that, or are they coming in and trying to change it?
Yeah, all of the above.
Well, that's all the time we have.
It's a dynamic, and everybody affects everybody else, and new ways of thinking has its effect in the islands. But there has to be the understanding that there's this older way of thinking, too, that pre-exists our, you know, getting here. As a tourist or as an expatriate who lives here, and you have to adjust to that. And the frustrations in terms of the differences, different concepts of time, the different concepts of how we relate with each other in work relationships, all of this still plays a role here. So these things have to be considered. Is it changing? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Changing okay. fast enough for some? Probably not. Too fast for others? Probably. You know, it's a fluid dynamic, as most cultures are.
And that doesn't sound like a bad thing to me necessarily.
Right. Maybe we can learn from each other. You know, right. there are ways that Maybe the way that we're thinking and doing, which is different, is something that could benefit me. Maybe I need to learn how to chill a little bit more. You know, isn't that the reason why tourists come here?
In theory, chill? Yeah. Right? In theory, that's why
they come. Unfortunate thing is that it usually takes 7 days
right.
before you get to the chill place
and
you
then you're
want
back
to,
on the plane
and
again.
Then you got to get back on the plane and go
right.
home.
And now you start yelling at people on the way home. Now, a couple of years ago, the islands here, along with several other islands in the area, were hit with hurricanes. St. Thomas was hit and St. John were hit by two hurricanes, pretty much back to back.
Yeah, it was Irma Maria.
Yeah.
Irma came and then a week later, Maria came. Irma yeah. came with the winds and Maria came with the
with
rain.
The rain, sure. Yeah. And there was a great deal of devastation, an awful lot of damage, and it's still... What's it been? It's been a couple of years, and the work is still going.
Yeah, two and a half years now.
And some of the large hotels are still not open. Is that correct?
That's right.
But the point I kind of want to go to here is because they may have heard about this, but I'm going to take it from a U.S. mainland point of view. There was also a hurricane that came up and hit Puerto Rico, and it also suffered devastating damage. And loss of life. Now, it was
the same hurricane. It was Maria.
It was Maria.
Maria.
And it went through there, and we heard quite a bit about that in the United States. We heard some about the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, the U.S. Virgin Islands are a territory. Puerto Rico is a territory to the United States.
Right.
And yet, now it's a little bit closer, but St. Thomas, as we sit here in St. Thomas, we're really not far from the eastern coast of Puerto Rico right now.
Not really. No, very close.
Not in the bigger picture. And so
you could hop there.
There could be a hop in
There's
place.
There's an easier hop there than most other places.
So I'm just kind of thinking of it in terms of the cultural response. It wasn't like Puerto Rico got enough attention in the United States because it didn't, and it's still also trying to recover. But from my perspective and from other people I spoke to about it, an awful lot of other people really weren't aware of what happened to the U.S. Virgin Islands, despite the fact that they're another territory of the United States.
With Puerto Ricanos and U.S. Virgin Islanders are all U.S. citizens, and they were shafted.
Yeah.
They got nothing.
Right.
Nothing and nothing on time.
So,
no help. 6 months without power.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. That's why. Why? Well, that kind of takes me to I'm going to ask you, is there a cultural piece to this that the United States reacts one way, even, and they didn't react well to Puerto Rico, but they managed to react even worse to the Virgin Islands?
Well, you know, I think it depends on who you speak with. Worse is relative. The U.S. Virgin's got very little attention, but I have to say that it's a much smaller territory,
sure,
with fewer people to manage in this kind of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an apology for overlooking them,
right?
But the greater crying need was in Puerto Rico, simply because it was far more people,
just a larger situation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right,
exactly.
So no, you're saying no, there's no cultural piece here at all.
No, everything's got a cultural piece.
Wow, I came a long way around here to get a big fat no, you know? Really?
But I do think that what's called...
You're going to try to dig out of this now, aren't you?
Laughingly called the Commonwealth is overlooked, of course, because it was a political decision to... political and military decision to make Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgins, U.S. territory.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico, because back with Teddy Roosevelt, you know, when basically most of Latin America was having its revolutions against Spain, the U.S. made a political and military decision that they could basically exploit this situation in Latin America and go in and start to exert their own influence mm-hmm. over the region.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders, they in Puerto Rico, they came in and the poor folks there, they got rid of Spain, but then they had to deal with the Yankees who took over,
right,
basically.
Right. You know? Yes. And, yeah, they were planning on doing some other islands down too that they
absolutely
didn't get, they weren't
they
able
they
to.
They just didn't get to it.
Right.
But all right, so you don't militarily take them over, but then you economically take them over,
right,
which was the history of the subsequent 100 years in Latin America. But what happened in the U.S. Virgins was a different story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the U.S. Virgins were always under different European colonial flags, mm-hmm, the Dutch, the French, the English. And when Germany, during World War I,
right,
was about to attack Denmark,
mm-hmm,
and this is go back to like 1917, I think.
It does.
They were going to attack Denmark. Denmark owned the U.S., what is now the U.S. Virgin Islands. So it was under the Danish flag. And the U.S. government got very nervous that if Germany attacks Denmark, then by virtue of that, Germany would have a base in the Caribbean.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It would take over Danish territory. So they quickly made a deal that they would buy the territory from the Danes. And the Danes were very happy to do that because they needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw the German invasion on the horizon. So they did that. So they sold to the U.S. I don't remember how much it was for, but it was several million dollars or whatever. The cost of probably a small house here today. But they, whoops, overnight, the U.S. Yeah. Suddenly, you know, raised its flag and owned the Virgin Islands.
Right, right. And we didn't mention much about, you mentioned it, but St. Croix is the third of the three islands that are generally recognized.
For the U.S.
For the U.S.
Virgins,
and
yes.
St. Croix is quite a distance from St. John and St. Thomas.
And culturally, it's very different.
Mm.
Yeah, these three islands are culturally different. St. Thomians are different from St. Crucians and different from the three people who live on St. John's. let's get it straight. St. John's is the smallest of the three main islands,
yeah,
and it is two-thirds national park.
Right, and beautiful.
Beautiful. Both gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah.
So the amount of land available for actual people to live on and own and sustain themselves is very, very small. So there's a very small population. In St. John. St. Thomas is the trading island, and it's where the capital, Charlotte Amalia, of the Virgin Islands is.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Thomas, again, because of its natural topography, there was a very deep harbor. So ships could easily get in and out during the slave trade. So St. Thomas became the slave trade center. And subsequently, when slavery ended, of course, it still retained its commercial role because of that very deep harbor. So even cruise ships that come in with tourists now come into St. Thomas. So the culture of St. Thomas is much more cosmopolitan. It's much more commercial oriented. It's certainly tourist focused. And if there's any influence from the outside world, you're going to feel it first in St. Thomas.
Right.
Right. It's more urban. It's less agricultural. The mountains made it very difficult to grow things.
Right. I would imagine.
But the harbor made it really conducive to trade.
Sure.
But then you go to St. Croix, which is this big, flat kind of mountain terrain, but it's flat. It's not up and down so much. And
okay, hold on. I got to back up there. Explain a flat mountain to me. It's a plateau?
No, it's a plateau. That's what thank you.
Okay. That's what I meant. All right, just want to make it clear.
And it is very conducive to agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the biggest island.
Right.
So when the slaves were brought to the Virgins, a lot of big plantations developed in St. Croix. And that's where the sugar plantations were. That's where the rum making was. And that's where agriculture really grabbed hold. And it was master-slave relationship.
Right, right, right.
So the whole plantation culture is very powerful there. And some of the challenges in St. Croix today have to deal with this legacy of master-slave relationships in human as fundamental to human relationships.
Right.
Yeah. So you got these three very different cultures within these three small islands.
Intra-cultures. Yeah. It's a So I interrupted you before you were moving or hopping perhaps to the BVIs, the British Virgin Islands. And so the first, do you remember the British Virgin Islands over there? What do we run into after we go beyond St. John?
Well, you know, you go east of St. John and you're going to get to Tortola, which is the biggest of the BVIs. Mm-hmm. And there's the whole area of the BVIs is much more extensive than it is in the U.S. Mm. U.S. Virgin's just three islands mainly, but BVIs, lots more. Tortola's the biggest one. Virgin Gorda is the one that's furthest out. That's the largest. And lots of islands in between that are smaller, some of them privately owned. Mm. You know, and there are some privately owned islands in the U.S. versions as well. Well, unfortunately, there was an island that Jeffrey Epstein owned.
Yeah, it's right become off of, infamous, unfortunately.
Right off of St. Thomas. Yeah, they should have taken care of that a long time ago. But you still see Epstein's plane flying in and out. I don't know who's doing that now. Huh. But you
must
know.
Be some business type of thing. But I'm not asking any questions or suggesting any answers.
Oh, God.
In fact, I am changing the subject because I know we should do that. Anyway, we are, okay, so the BVIs then cover a lot greater expanse.
And we're still driving on the left.
We're still driving on the left.
But the steering column is now on the right.
Ah, and but see, to me, there's an aspect to that. And I know it can be that there's, that sure, in the economics of it saying, look, these are the U.S. Virgin Islands, therefore cars come in from the U.S. or something along, or they come mainly from there. There's all sorts of different kinds of cars here.
Go ahead.
But in the BVIs, if they're bringing in cars that have the changed steering column, then I'm thinking, I don't get it. So are we just insisting on the fact that, is this an economic thing?
Yeah, I don't get it either, and I don't even think it's a cultural thing. I don't know what it is.
It's just
I've asked people this question. First of all, why were the cars on the left? When, if it always was, and the answer I've gotten is that it always was since the Brits owned the island.
With the Brits, right? Okay, sure.
But then the Danes came, and they said, okay, we'll just leave it alone.
Maybe it was too hard to change it at that time?
Maybe.
Well, because there's an establishment of movement. At least this is what I know of larger mainland areas. Because the cars eat up, in bigger countries, cars eat up a fairly small percentage of the actual time the country has existed and functioned. But there were vehicles before then, or animals, or whatever.
Or carts being drawn by horses and oxen.
Or oxen, and or people riding on horses.
And it was still either had to be left or right.
They came up with a plan, basically, without even being published, as far as I know, that the people would treat it this way. And the only one that I'm aware of that started it that way was England, that went to the left side. I mean, Europe is on the right side.
And you know why it's on the left?
No.
Ah, because before there were cars and before there were vehicles of major commercial import, if you were riding on a horse and that was the only way to get around, right? 80% of the people are right-handed. I think we talked about a little bit about this once, about other things. Here's the cultural thing. 80% of the people are right-handed.
Here it is. Notebook. Take out your notebook. Take out your pencil for all of those of you who still have a pencil. Go ahead.
Here's the cultural thing.
There it is.
If 80% of the people are right-handed, which means if you're a knight on your horse
right.
and you're defending yourself against another knight who's coming at you from the opposite direction, 80% of the time, both of you are going to be having your weapons in your right hand, which means the way you're going to knock the other guy off the horse is if you approach them from the left. So, bingo, that's the reason you're on the left. And then when vehicles came into the picture, they just stayed on the left because why change it? See? Now, on the continent, it was a different story. Not because there were more people who were left-handed, but because they didn't want to do it the way the Brits did it, so they did it the opposite. Which is why in the U.S. we drive on the right, because if it was the British were driving on the left, then we're going to drive on the right. So the Danes probably because he didn't want to do anything that was British. So the Danes, I'm guessing here, just didn't want to. There weren't that many vehicles anyway. It was mainly agricultural. Let's just keep it the way it was. And then suddenly somebody woke up in 1950 and was owned by the U.S. and there were lots of vehicles on the roads, but it was too late to change it back. Whew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was napping.
But now you're going to dispute my theory about right-handed
and
left-handed.
I'm going to leave it alone, and I'm going to say, Torrent, will you check? Because I can't say this for certain, so I'm not going to dispute it completely. Can you check in jousting whether they ride and cross the spear across
the lance?
Thank you. The lance across to the opposite side, or they use it on the side that they actually are holding it on. Okay. I know that's easy to Google, but go ahead and do that and see what they come up with. And it might be that is a difference between England and, let's say, Europe as to how they did it.
The continent.
And so as they may change like that for those reasons, which would then translate into eventually being on the right and left in the other way too. And they may do it that way just because, as you're saying, that I'm talking about in the jousting, that they didn't want to do it the way the Brits did it. But anyway,
are you jousting now?
I'm preparing to. It's because I know that they in some area they joust with the lance crossing the barrier in between the two riders over across it, as opposed to trying to strike the person on the side that they're actually holding it.
Well, that's a different kind of jousting.
Well, no. It's they're either on the right or the left.
I don't think it matters.
And it may be the exact answer to that. It matters completely.
You're still holding it in your right hand.
We have people out there who could be preparing to joust as they listen to this. And they could be going out with completely wrong information.
Absolutely
we
not.
We could be endangering their lives.
If you listen to him, that's the truth. But if you listen to me, you'll be perfectly fine.
Sad situation. It's a sad situation. Anyway, it's...
And, you know, metaphorically and
We were fighting up a stair the last time when we were right and left.
We were
fighting up a staircase the last time on a spiral staircase.
Oh, that's why spiral staircases go up in the direction they go in.
Yeah, except when you go to fight
European
down, the whole
castles.
Theory goes out the window. But that's okay. We already covered
but
that
nobody
one.
Nobody fights going down. No, they fight going up.
They better or they're dead. Haven't you ever watched Princess Bride?
These are great urban legends, aren't they? Great cultural urban legends.
You can go with them. Why not?
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Good.
Maybe
it's not here.
No, it is.
It was here briefly, but it is. But once you get something to drink, I think. Oh, did it come back? Oh, good.
Can I have another Corona, please?
Here you go.
Put a lime in it. Hey, always put a lime in it.
Right.
Down on the islands, always put a lime
always?
In it.
Always? Yeah.
Everything. Everything goes better with a lime.
Everything.
A fresh cut lime.
Mm. Everything.
Yeah.
That wasn't the thing, though, I'm guessing.
No, it wasn't the thing.
Okay.
But you reminded me to say that. So... I think metaphorically and metaphysically and metaculturally.
Oh, look out. We've gone meta hell here.
This is the jousting issue.
Yes.
Is just another example of Brexit. It's why it's happening.
Sure. Sure.
It is. You know, it's just one of a million historical facts that have kept the continent and the island of Britain separated.
Right. Well, and it was interesting when they first put the European Union together. From my perspective, I thought it was interesting to look at it, and that the Brits were actually going into the European Union to begin with. Not that I necessarily think it's a good thing for them to do Brexit,
who are we to say?
I know. I don't know, and I'm not really have a valid opinion on it. So
well, I have a valid opinion on it, but
I have an opinion.
But the
I'm
point
not
is,
sure how
who
valid
are we to
is.
Say? Right?
Well, I. When has that stopped us? We can say it may or may not be based in reality. It may or may not be realistic. Torrin's staring at us now. So
he's got the answer to the jousting question.
On jousting.
Update on jousting.
Yes, thank you. So I didn't
I can tell from his face right now what he's going to say.
Yeah, this is going to complicate the issue even more.
Update
on jousting.
I didn't necessarily find a manual on proper techniques in jousting.
You're not winning.
There are several pictures, and in every picture I'm seeing, the rider on the right side of the barrier is holding the lance in his or her right hand.
Okay. And doing what with it? Reaching across.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
They're reaching across their body.
Check, please. Right here. Thank you.
Reaching across with his right hand.
Right. So he's on the
right side.
On the right side
of the barrier.
Mm-hmm. Not on the left side, reaching across with his right hand.
And the person on the left is doing the same thing.
Right.
With their right hand.
No, they're on the right side because they're going that direction. The other person's on the right
side.
They're doing this.
You're overcomplicating what I just said, which is a very good technique of yours, by the way.
Hey, I got to do something over here. So,
and what year is this? You're looking at these pictures. Was it?
Well,
it had to be
1989.
It had to be. It had to be after the Middle Ages when this stuff started.
Oh, gosh.
It would seem to make more sense that they would be riding on the left side of the barrier and holding in their right hand, per what you were saying.
But... Exactly.
No, because of the way they strike the other person and the reaction to that, it gives them more strength to
more
cross
power.
It over.
Yeah.
And they can also rest it on the neck of the horse.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Have you ever jousted?
I have. Numerous times. I belong to a jousting club. It's a verbal jousting club, but nonetheless, it's a jousting club.
Torrin, could you pass those Coronas over?
Yeah, here you go.
Just pop a few of them open.
Okay,
we really need it now.
Yeah, sure.
There's something else I want to say about that.
Oh, good.
Here we are on the beach, jousting with horses and... But here we are on the beach, enjoying ourselves, doing our podcast, talking about the cultures of the Caribbean.
Yes.
At least in this small little corner of the Caribbean, known as the Virgin Islands.
Right.
And, I do want to say, again, the tourist mentality is often, I'm coming down as vacation. They're going to take care of me and everybody, I'm going to have this great time and I'm going to just let loose. Right.
Hmm.
Hey, folks. Be careful, because these islands are, and this is true for most of the Caribbean islands in general, these islands are very conservative cultures.
Mm.
Fundamentally, these are cultures that have struggled a great deal with some horrible historical facts. Slavery, mainly.
Right.
Exploitation, conquest, disease, there's probably nothing harder than harvesting sugarcane and turning it into rum.
Right.
It's an awful, awful, awful process. And for most of history, it was made worse by slavery. So oftentimes the only solace these folks had was religion.
Mm-hmm.
And often with religion comes conservatism and a much more family-focused orientation toward life. And these are fundamentally conservative cultures. So I say all this because the tourist steps off the boat in their Hawaiian t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
And shorts that maybe are too short, right?
Yeah.
And just prances through town, because the town is now there to sell them all these trinkets and goodies. And there's very little respect for the fact that there is an indigenous culture that lives here and this is their home.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just want to remind people that the conservative aspect of the fundamental culture, independent of what it looks like on the beach, is very, very different from the beach. So
yes.
When you leave the beach, do not walk through town in a bathing suit or in flip-flops. You know, you go into town. Yeah, you can wear shorts because it's hot and it's very warm weather. But you don't wear it. You got to put a shirt on. You don't march through town without a shirt. Ladies, you're not wearing bathing suits and thongs in town. You just don't do that. Mm-hmm. You dress well and you look like you have respect for the hosts that are trying to host you and their culture. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. Now on the beach, it's a whole different scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can let it all hang out.
And okay.
And some really do, which is a whole other story.
But places do vary, too.
Did you see that person walking down there yesterday?
No, I missed it. Sorry. Yes. I think I vaguely remember what you're talking about.
It was astonishing.
In a good way. Astonishing, yes. It's. However, there are also limitations. Like, for instance, on the beach we were on yesterday, should in this particular area, if the lady decided to go topless, they would have been approached and told to please put the top back on.
Yes,
am I right?
Absolutely. There are no, as far as I know, and I may be wrong on this, but as far as I know, there are no topless beaches in the U.S. Virgins. Unless you're on a private beach, you can do what you want.
Sure.
Right? But even private beaches, be careful because there really is no private beach. I mean, private.
I think you would have to be on your own island.
Your own island,
which is taking
yes.
us down. It's a slippery slope on this island, so I think we should be careful of that.
It's one of the major hills on the island that are extremely slippery.
As we drift away from that island.
But if I remember correctly, this one.
That we
saw yesterday on the beach. If she were topless, yes, somebody would have come over to her and said, "You can't do that."
Right.
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 But she was, for all intents and purposes, bottomless, and nobody said anything.
Virtually.
To her,
yes. You know? Yes. At least, yes.
I don't quite understand how that works, but okay.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, and those things do vary around the world. We've talked about this, especially in areas like Brazil and things like that, where people sometimes have ideas about it that are a little misguided. But I think, too, when the people are coming here, as you were saying, there's a certain respect. There's a lot of leeway, but not complete leeway when it comes to the beaches in these areas, anyway, that we're in now.
That's right. We don't have the Latin legacy. This is not a Latin culture. This is a U.S. right now political, but a Northern European. It is under a lot of Northern European flags.
Right.
Right. So you don't have the. You have Protestant prescriptions against these kinds of things.
And the wise thing to be then, regardless of what island you may be heading to, is to ask. Look, research online, do things like that to be sure that you're not going in and violating something. If your plan is to be basically naked on the beach in some form or another,
it's got to be a private beach. Yeah, right. And do the research. Yes, look it up. I mean, because you don't want to offend people, you don't want to make people angry, and you certainly don't you don't want to disrespect them.
Right.
If you disrespect them, you're disrespecting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got...
We've got jousting on our minds.
and by the way, if you're a person who has been has jousted, perhaps, I know there are people out there that do this. There are people out there that do this, yep. The recreation of the Middle Ages, and people will perform jousting.
Just leave the smallpox at home, please. and the plague. We don't need that.
If you're going to recreate, you got to recreate.
Recreating the glorious and marvelous good old days of the Middle Ages. But
and we also want to throw that the chamber pot out the window onto us too.
Right.
So
and the burning of witches and all
of
these wonderful things.
Good times.
Yeah.
So, but if there are people who do recreation of that and they do jousting and they know a little bit about it and they want to get their 2 cents in or whatever denomination you would like to get in here, please let us know and text us or email us. And we still have all of that, right, Torin?
Sure. Yes, we do.
And it's still operating. In fact, I'd like to close up with a question here.
Wait, we're closing. We're just getting started.
Well, you're just getting started because you were asleep when we started here, and you're just waking up finally.
I think he's just talking about the coronas.
And we.
I need
more. Another corona over here for all of us, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm getting a little peckish now. I need some home fritters, I think.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. It's.
Do you remember Kunk Fritters? I think he was a comic from the 50s.
Almost made it. We got close. We got close.
So close.
But
he was a country.
I think it was early in the 50s. Yeah. I think he was in the 30s. It was vaudeville.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That's right.
And his partner used to hit him over the head, and it was Kunk Fritters.
Exactly.
Regardless of that, we didn't make it. And so anyway, we're going to.
Are you referring to the fact that we couldn't get through a broadcast with me making a
reference to it being some person?
A person.
At least it wasn't anyone you dated in junior high school, wanted to date in junior high school.
I never dated those girls. I only knew them.
Okay.
I just want a clarification.
Well, thank you. I think most people out there are making a note of that right now. I know I have.
Because if you remember, you didn't date anybody in the seventh grade. It was like
There was like two people who could, from the male perspective, there were like two people in your class who could actually talk to a female and ask them to date or something, or felt like it. Or there was always that one guy who was dating people in high school at that time.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, who are these people? They're like 30 years old in junior high school.
These were when you went to the hop and you wanted to make it metaphysical, but it was only metaphorical.
By the way, a hop. And that,
yeah, that's
for,
right.
For the most, if you're in other areas of the world, in the United States, a hop was a dance at school that you would go to, and they started by being called sock hops.
Yeah, we're referring to a medieval term that is no longer
used. It is now medieval, you bet. And the reason they were called sock hops is because they would often be held in the gymnasium of the school where the athletic events were held, like basketball, and they had hardwood floors that were very carefully taken care of. They didn't want them to be damaged, so they would make the students take their shoes off to go out onto the floor, and most of them would all be wearing socks at the time. So it became known as sock hops, and then eventually became hops.
I had no idea that is the source of that.
That's the source
of that. Etymological root.
Or I just made it up. One or the other.
I like that. Torrin, can we look that up too and see if that's where sock hop
Torrin,
comes from?
I may have passed out from too many coronas, I think. He's refusing now.
It's okay. As long as you had a lime in it, you'll be all right.
I just put a lime over one of his eyes. And
and that feels great. It feels terrific.
Well, yeah, there you go. There's your sock hop education for the day.
I got a plate of Kunk Fritters just waiting for me here.
All right. Well,
in
that case, it's probably time to get out of. Thanks, Torrin, for really not doing a damn thing in this podcast.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and for confusing us even further about which position you sit on the horse jousting. By the way, the ones who. So you could do it any way you wanted to do it. And if you sat on the horse backwards, then the right was left and the left was right anyway.
See, I didn't even think of that. Wow. Now, that's important.
I know. Wow. See, you didn't.
No. Well, I'm going to try driving backwards on the island here and see how that goes.
Good. That won't affect anything.
No, not at all.
Most people would be fine with
Well, once again, we've never actually really said that Dean Foster is here and I'm Tom Peterson we're on the island and we're having a great time. And if you have an opportunity to travel to the U.S. Virgin Islands, the BVIs, do so. They're wonderful places. Respect the people here and the laws that they have in place, regardless of whether you can figure out why they're in place. And be
safe.
We've
all been trying to do that for a long
time.
Yeah,
that's right. And you're not going to solve it. So, but be safe and enjoy. I know we're going to. And as Dean said a minute ago, we're going to go bury our faces in plates of Kunk Fritters and wash them down with more Corona.
And be careful about the cultural things that we said, because you don't want to be caught being accused of going, oops,
your culture's showing. Smell ya. Okay, listen, the way to get hold of us is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is oopscultureshow. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, you should really subscribe. That's the best way to go, really. Honestly, I know what I'm talking about. All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. Subscribe. Thank you.